I have two words to write on the board.
Title for today.
Have a message this morning about a topic that I believe pretty certain will touch every one of us in our lives. And if you're here today and you feel like that you haven't been touched by this topic, it's probably because you're not very old yet or you haven't gone very far into life. But if that's where you are, maybe this could be a message that you can tuck away for when you need it. And for the rest of us, I trust that the message this morning will be an encouragement. I'd like to read a verse this morning out of the 16th chapter of John and the 33rd verse. It reads this way: "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." It said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." It was pretty, this was Jesus talking, and he was pretty definitive with this. He didn't say you might. He didn't say it was possible. He didn't say there's a certain group of people that will. But I believe he knew that this was going to be read by those that would come after. And he said, "You shall have tribulation." I'd like to read a little bit about what tribulation is defined as. Tribulation refers to a period of intense difficulty, suffering or distressed, being pushed, strained, or tested by hardship. There's different types of hardship. Personal hardship, illness, loss, financial struggle, emotional turmoil, inner conflict, grief, anxiety. Does any of this sound familiar to anybody? Have you met any of these people before? I'm personifying it. Collective suffering. There's war. There's disaster that affects many at the same time. There's social upheaval. There's spiritual or religious tribulation or testing. Sometimes to build endurance, to reveal character. There's moral tribulation, facing choices that test our integrity. All of us are going to eventually face tribulation, and I suspect that we can identify with many of these pieces and parts and ways that tribulation visits us in life, if not all of them. And we are going to face these sorts of things at work, at school, at home, in the community, at church, in the world. Through life, we're going to experience tribulation in body and in spirit. And yet in the same breath, Jesus speaks of peace. Did you notice that? Well, how do these things go together? How can you have peace when these things that we just outlined, and that's just a subset of what all tribulation might consist of, how do you have peace? Well, I think that this verse, it's probably a verse that many of us here can quote. It's a well-known verse. To me, it's always been a verse that just sort of flows. The way that the words go together, heard it a lot of times, and I can quote it, I can say it. And yet I think sometimes it is something that we can struggle to apply or experience. This peace, this cheer that it talks about in the same breath as tribulation. And it's not because that it's not truth. It's not because the truth that Jesus brought regarding what can go with tribulation is not alive and it's not well. But I feel like sometimes it's because it's something that is within our reach that we're not getting a hold of. And this morning I'd like to reach out for it for just a few minutes. See if we can get a hold of it and take with us. So let's consider it just a bit. It said, "These things I have spoken unto you." Well, what things is he talking about? Well, if you read, and I'm not going to because for sake of time this morning, although it wouldn't take that much time, but read on your own time, read chapters 14, 15, and 16. The things that he said immediately prior, as recorded, and it was right in that same time frame. I don't know if he said all of these things in one sitting, but in the book of John, it's chapter 14, and then chapter 15, and then chapter 16, and then you get to the end of the 16th, and it says, "These things I have spoken unto you." So what is he talking about? Well, chapters 14, 15, and 16, they are chock full of wonderful truths that came from the mouth of Jesus. And while I'm not going to read the chapters this morning, I did write down some things that I captured looking through those chapters. And here are some of them. Jesus hasn't forgotten us. I lifted these things from the chapters. You can find them if you read them. Jesus hasn't forgotten you. He'll send His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to you. He will comfort us. Jesus will comfort us. Jesus promised to teach us. You know what that means? When Jesus said, "I'll teach you," His Spirit said He would send His Spirit, that He would teach us and bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever things He has said unto us. That means we don't know everything right now. That means there's still things that we need to be taught. It means that we haven't yet arrived. And so Jesus said, "I'll teach you." He's the vine and we're the branches. That is so encouraging to me to know that I am not the one where all power is expected to originate from. That comes from the vine. That comes from Jesus. And He said, "We're the branches. He's the vine." And He invites us to connect in to the source of power. We don't have to generate. We do not have to be the source. We cannot be the source of power. Jesus is. But He says, "You can be a branch. You can be connected to me. And if you will, I will allow my Spirit. I will allow my goodness. I will allow my righteousness. I will allow the good things that come from the throne of God to flow through your life, whosoever will." That's in the 15th chapter of John. He will help us bear more fruit if we're willing. We don't have to stay in the same state that we are today. If you're disappointed with where you are today, take hope. Because Jesus is your friend. He came to help you. And he said, I will come, and those that are willing to let me work in their life, I will help you bear more fruit. I won't cast you away. I will preserve your soul. I will protect you. I will help you get to a place that you are not, that you do not currently reside, can bear more fruit. Thank the Lord. We're his friends. Again, these are things from these chapters. You're my friends. I call you not servants, but call you friends. He will give us the desires of our heart as we abide in him. That's a whole message unto itself. We'll one day be able to be where he is. He came to bring us peace. How good is this? And these are promises that came from a Jesus that is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. And so I believe that this is some of what Jesus was talking about when he referred and said, these things have I spoken unto you. He was referring back, it seems, to some of these things that we just reiterated. Now, why did he speak these things to us? In chapters 14, 15, and 16, why was it that Jesus felt compelled and felt it necessary to speak these things? It's because he knew that we were going to face tribulation. It's because he knew that we were going to need to be comforted. And it's because he knew that peace and comfort can be a struggle during times of tribulation. Does anybody here ever struggle to find peace and rest? I think that's a rhetorical question, because I think that the answer is yes, that we do. I know I do. So what was his promise? We would find peace through the world? No. Was his promise that we would find peace through ourselves? Through our own righteousness? Through our own goodness? Through our own accomplishments? That we would find peace through our own progress spiritually? No. None of those things. Peace because of our circumstances in life? No, again. He said that we would find peace in him. In me, Jesus said, that is where we would find peace. But I think that there is something that so easily gets us off track. And here's the burden of my message. I know most of probably everything I've said, you could preach that too. Maybe this as well, but it's a good reminder. First, the world is not a peaceful place in many respects. Number one. We live in a world that's not peaceful in a lot of ways. And we often individually are personally affected by not so peaceful situations. But do you know what we do as human beings so often? I guess it's part of how we're made, and God made us this way for a reason in many ways. But I feel like that what we do is we have a world around us that's not peaceful in many ways, and it's not just out there where it's not peaceful, but non-peaceful things visit our home and they knock on our door and they become very personal. And then what we do as human beings is it's almost like we feel like that if we can dial in the right combination, if we can just make the right adjustments, if I can remove some of this and add some of this over here, that I can create these circumstances, that then I can kind of be at rest and find peace. If I can just modify the circumstances that I'm in. And I think to a point, we can do that, thankfully. There are consequences to the decisions and the choices that we make in life. And we talked about this morning in Sunday school, we reap what we sow often. And so if you make good choices, then there's more peace that follows than if you make poor choices. That's true. And the Lord wants us to experience as much peace as we can in our own lives because of good choices that we make. But the reality is that we can't change the nature of the world. And we can't change the fact that we're human and that we live amongst humanity, if I can say it that way. And we can't go change other people so much. And we're going to face things in life that aren't pleasant. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we personally are doing anything that's wrong. Doesn't mean that just because tribulation comes your way and knocks on your door that you personally did anything wrong. The disciples, Jesus was trying to prepare them for some tribulation, that some heavy tribulation that they were getting ready to face. And he wanted to remind them of some very blessed things, wonderful promises, and things that he was going to do, and things that he was to help prepare them for what was to come. And Jesus also recognized that we were going to read this some 2,000 years later, and everyone in between, and that we too were going to face things in life that maybe weren't of our choosing. And so he wanted to open this up to our hearts. Because we live in a sin, humanity-inhabited world. And we're not going to make everything pretty. Contrary to what it feels like is a a culture, a intentional influence that is being thrust upon us to frame the way we think about things, that we can make and have everything beautiful. Everything's airbrushed. You know what I'm saying? What that's presented. The magazines and billboards and the media, and so much of what is put out there just promises and shows all of this beauty and what could be if you just are this, if you just do this, if you just reach this, if you can just make this happen, then you can experience all this beauty. And quite honestly, it's one of the reasons, it's one of the very things that the youth of today, and it's not just the youth of today, it's adults of today too, but there's a growing recognition by those that study these types of things in the world that is one of the things that's causing depression in our youth. Depression in our youth. Because they're inundated with a social media and a media front that presents so much as so beautiful and so good and living so large when it's not reality. And then they look at their own lives and they think, that's not my life. I must be doing something wrong. Look at all this that everybody else is experiencing. And it's causing trouble. I won't stay too long on that piece of it. But we live in a time and a world that tries to make everything beautiful with things and by things that are going to pass away. And yet, there's a scripture in 1 Peter 4:12 that says, Peter said, don't think that it's strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing happened. Don't, when a fiery trial comes, don't view it as this totally, completely unexpected, strange occurrence that just came your way as though, how could that ever happen? It's not strange. Might be unexpected on a lot of fronts. Disappointing, yes, but strange, a long time ago, the scriptures, Jesus, he saw what was ahead in so many ways and endeavors to prepare us. Don't think that that's just strange, that happens to your life. The Lord did not say that he came to make all tribulation peaceful. That's not what he said. And yet I think sometimes that's what we try to do in life. And I have experience with that. So I speak personally, you know, you no doubt have too, because we are people that try to make wrong things right. We're created that way. It's self-preservation. But then what happens, and there are some things that we can make right and that we should make right. But then what happens in life is that we run across some of those things that you can't make right. And so then you distress because there are things that are outside of your control and you can't make tribulation go away. And hear this. We experience distress because of distress. But then the distress is compounded because we think it's strange. You follow what I'm saying? We despair, we distress with tribulation because of the tribulation. And then it is compounded because we think that it's strange that we can't make it all go away and that we live in a world and we live in a sin world and we live in a world of circumstances and things that are outside of our control. And Jesus, he understood all of this. And so it seems that he is plainly telling us that he came that we might have peace in him. not this other. And it's helpful for me to understand that. And I believe that it would be helpful for all of us to be able to internalize the burden of this message, that don't allow your peace to go out the window just because you have not so peaceful circumstances. Find peace in Jesus. That's what he came to bring to us. He did not say that he came to make all this trouble go away. He said, find peace in my righteousness. Find peace in my power, my care. Find peace in my safekeeping that I have for you. Well, we may sit here this morning and we may all nod our heads and say, yes, we agree. We believe that this is true, what you're saying, preacher. And that sounds like gospel that we've heard. But the question is, but then do we live that way? Are we able to live and think in a way that shows we have internalized these truths? Or do we allow the enemy of our souls to get us to live lives where we are always absent peace? Where we are always living where it's an internal requirement that for me to have peace, all of my circumstances have to be peaceful. Because if that's where you're at, you're never going to find peace. And Jesus never promised that. He tried to redirect our attention to say, that's not where you're going to find your peace. Those things aren't going to all go away. I came that you might have peace in me. Am I saying that we don't have a part to play in trying to make this world a little better place? No. I firmly believe that the Lord desires that he has a people that are filled with his Spirit, that can live in this life in the midst of a sin world and bring some cheer by being connected to the vine and letting the grace of God flow through your life to help make some circumstances that otherwise would not be peaceful and help turn them into something that is peaceful. God has a place for us. It's just that we're not going to make all things pleasant that we see, feel, and hear in our life. And so Jesus comes along and he gently invites us and reassures us that in the midst of a troubled world, that yes, we can lift up our eyes to the one that is above it all. Thank the Lord. And we can find peace in him in the midst of the storm. The woman at the well found it. You know, I have an idea that even after she met Jesus, she still had a really complicated life that she had to go home to. And I don't think that just because she met Jesus that it changed all of that, and yet she found a peace that passed all understanding. The thief on the cross, he found it. He carried a cross. He was nailed to a cross. Never had that happen to me. And I trust that that never happens to me or you. What a horrible cross to bear, to hang on a cross. But that man did. And yet, in the midst of the cross, while it was all still in motion, he found peace in Jesus. I have an idea that Zacchaeus was one of the happiest men alive the day that he realized that his material riches were getting ready to be significantly decreased. And yet in the face of recognizing that his material status in this world was going to significantly decrease, Jesus left the home of a very happy man because he found peace in Jesus. Peter, through all of the failures that he experienced, was able to be able to look up and tap into a power that was greater than his own, and he found peace in Jesus, to the point that history tells us that he too was willing to be nailed to a cross. Paul tells us that he went through life with tribulation, a thorn in the flesh that the Lord never took away. And he faced tribulation, and he outlined it in one area, one place in the scripture of all the things that he suffered. And yet, he found peace in Jesus. And Jesus was also able to find peace in the Father by looking to the other side of the cross and found a joy that was there. And this morning, Jesus has peace for us too in the midst of tribulation. And his message to us is that we go in peace, not because of what we've done, not because of who we are, not because our life is some kind of a paradise, but that we could find peace because of who he is. And what that in turn means for us. We're his friend. He calls us friends. We're his child. He promised to hold our hand. He promised to be our intercessor. He promised to be our comforter. He promised to see us safely through all the way, through the judgment and through the gates of heaven, where we could have eternal life. And because of that, because we know the end of the story, because we know of whom our strength comes, we too can have peace. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world, yes, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. Tribulation? Yes. Perfect life? No. Hard times that get close? Most certainly. However, nevertheless, but be of good cheer. Take heart, for in the midst, by grace, by the grace of Jesus Christ, we can have peace in Jesus. Amen.